Do we have any Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, or former Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts in the sanctuary today? You mean I'm the only former one around? Well, Pat is back there. You're a Girl Scout. Y'all recall what the motto of the Boy Scouts happened to be? Be prepared. Yes, be prepared. And that was taught to me early on by my den mother and everything, that Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts are prepared. But you know, most people in the civilized world have heard of that. But you know, as Christians, we usually fall short of it or be ill-prepared because of the numerous distractions that create diversions which remove our primary attention from God. We all have good intentions, don't we? I mean, we want to live a better life than we did the day before. We want to walk closer with the Lord. But some way and somehow it gets diverted. It doesn't have to mean a real big cataclysmic disaster. It can be the telephone ringing. It may be an interesting program on television. It may be that you just, your thoughts wander. And a lot of times that those distractions can cause our faith to falter at times. And we have to be careful about that because there are numerous problems or issues that are encountered which become overwhelming and frightening. You ever have those little surprises which come along that you were not anticipating? And I shared with several of you from last Sunday after church, Wendy gave Georgie a duffel bag to take with him to Orlando, and it had clothes in it, and I was in the hallway. I don't know if you've been in the hallway in the manse in a long time, but it's paneled. If you don't turn a light on, it's as dark as Mammoth Cave in there, and I was turning the thermostat to cool a house down, and I turned around, and I didn't pay any attention. I went flipping over that duffel bag and landing on my right cheekbone. I looked like somebody pistol whipped me for about 2 or 3 days. It's not Wendy's fault. She was gracious to give him that. But anyway, a lot of times that was not even anticipated. But a lot of times we are diverted from what purposes they are. You know, even coming to church sometime, you may have a lot of things that's going on. You may get, like I said, that telephone call, or the coffee didn't perk completely correctly, or maybe you just could not get your act together, and you get flustered, and you come to church, and you're sitting there, and you're trying to let your mind slow down, and it just doesn't seem to. You just don't hit the brake pedal fast enough. It happens to all of us. It really, really does. And so, you know, if you notice, I carry the bulletin with me because over at Fort Meade, their format's a little, not much different, but a little different. So I just want to make sure I don't jump the gun, you know, sing the doxology before I do the Gloria Patri. But anyway, now, that was an ad lib, by the way, you know. But no amount of self-confidence will get people through a crisis except faith and trust in God. Psalm 46 blatantly reveals that God is our strength and a very present help concerning our past, our present, and our future. Think about that. God is there for us. Abandonment is not in God's nature. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I feel all alone, but we're not really alone. We may think so, but God is only a prayer away. You know, the term God forsaken is commonly used even by Christians, but I think that's a deliberate slap to God's figurative face. Where did all these negative attitudes originate? Well, it begins in our lack of understanding of God due to not nurturing our spiritual faith better. Now, the ideal would be for me to come to your homes every day with a spoon in my hand and spoon feed you the faith. But you know that's impossible to do that. So you have to do it with God's help. And what does it take? You've heard me say it. Reading your Bible, praying, fellowshipping with fellow Christians. There's a lot of things. Read devotionals. They're very good. There's always time for that if you make the time. You have to make the time for God. Now, that sounds almost like I'm saying that's a sin not to make time. Well, it is in some ways. But time is so precious. You ever put it off praying? You'll never go back to it the same morning because you'll get distracted, as we all do. So you have to stop for a few moments and say, thank God for this day. I was talking to somebody over at Fort Meade this morning, and I said, well, how's your morning going? He said, well, I praise God that I got out of bed and touched the floor with my feet. That sounds like almost a joke or jest, but you think about that. That's a blessing in itself. So, you know, there's a lot to be said. Now, in this passage here I read, and I skipped over a few verses, but anyway, it's the image. There's an image here of a Roman centurion, and they were a common sight in ancient Palestine. The Roman uniform was top-notched and state-of-the-art. The Roman Empire cared for their regiments. In fact, unless it was due to the neglect or laxity of the soldier through inadequate preparation for battle, Roman casualties were among the lowest of the ancient armies. The description by Paul concerned the army of God, followed closely the same design in spiritual matters for Christians and their Christians in regard to their protection from evil. At your own leisure, when you get a chance, read verses 13 through 17. I did not read those. I thought I'd give you some homework to do this week and read about that. It's a detailed description of actually battle armor, but it is spiritual in its usage here, but follows the design of a Roman soldier's armor. It goes from head to toe and covers every part of the body. You think about that. Because we're vulnerable. Every one of us is in regard. There is an oxymoron in place. Some people reject this military image given, but the point of the Apostle Paul was not Department of Defense tactics to protect us from external enemies, but to be able to withstand and rebuke evil from wrecking our lives. Nikita Khrushchev, Premier of the Soviet Union, said one time that the United States would be destroyed from within, but not externally. The same applies to Christians. We have to take care of the inner self, the soul, or whatever you want to call it. Because if we don't, we're going to end up being useless Christians in the long run. Most people have heard of preventative medicines, but the same notion applies to repel evil. If people of faith become entangled with evil, then nothing but chaos and destruction occurs. How do you allow that in your lives? Well, today you have many, many, many choices. We can blame social media, television, we can blame whatever we read. It can be a plethora of things. I'm not going to stand up here and be so censorious that I'll make you think, well, I better go home and burn my books. I'm not saying that at all. Because I do not want to test your intellect and question it. It's just a matter that you have to discern what's the best for your lives. If a person's spiritual infrastructure collapses, there is no one to blame but yourself. Unlike what Flip Wilson used to say, the comedian, the devil made me do it. Well, you know, he was partially right, but on the whole, the blame can fall on you, me. That's all it takes. How then can the gospel of peace be proclaimed? Well, the only place in the Bible where this term occurs is right here, and it is so suitable for the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into our world. why do churches split and Christians fight among each other and even enjoy it? It's because evil has seeped into their lives. It is due to shoddy spiritual preparation and, most importantly, a lack of prayer, which leads to less love in our hearts. Now, a lot of Christians get a kick out of politics. Well, that's fine with me. That's the American way to do it. But don't get negative and start ripping others to shreds. That is not a Christian way to do it. And you see it all the time. I don't care which political party you're talking about, even the Bull Moose and Whigs. I'm saying that leave it alone. Lift up your voices, you know. Do not let unhealthy communication proceed out of your mouth. That's Ephesians 4:29. And it says here, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Christians, are we following this verse that Paul wrote in Ephesians? I don't think a lot of us are. We have to lift everybody up, whatever it is. But you know what? Church people should take an inventory of their lives and say, you know what? Maybe I need to straighten things out and get those wrinkles ironed out with God's help. And it's due to shoddy spiritual preparation and, more importantly, a lack of prayer, which does lead to less love in our hearts. But when evil and sin is denied, that is where trouble begins and compromise of morals and ethics starts. Now, I've never been in that camp either where you have a group of Christians together and somebody says, let's confess our sins one to another. I've never felt that I had to confess, but I was in a group one time where and this one fellow said, well, I don't have any sins at all. It's been years since I sinned. Well, now, I stood back from him because I expect to see that gorilla parachuting through the ceiling any time on him. But know what it is. We need to do an inventory, a checklist, personal. Not your neighbor, not your family, not anybody but you, yourself, and me. And I, you know, like that. So remember that. That's what it's all about. And, you know, when evil and sin is denied, that is where trouble begins, and there's a compromise of moral and ethics starts. But people, you know, with muscle and joint pain problems, and most of us have it if we're over 29, 39, 49, whatever it may be. We are sometimes, I've never been prescribed this, but some of you may use cortisone every now and then. That's one of those miracle drugs that comes out, helps you stretch your varicose veins a little longer than they should, you know, like that. For treatment to function as normal as you can get again, prayer keeps us connected to God in a sort of a spiritual cortisone thing when nothing else will do. When it is all said and done, the downfall and fragmentation of the contemporary church is due to a neglected prayer life. That's as simple as that. I don't have to have a chalkboard up here or a whiteboard and describe it. You know it as well as I do. Pray without ceasing is found in 1 Thessalonians, and it is biblical, but rarely taken seriously. I used to have an attitude that I had to set aside a certain time to pray. You don't have to do that. You can pray any time you want to, whether it's at home or at work or whatever, as long as it doesn't cause your work assignments to get compromised. But you can pray in driving. Don't close your eyes, but pray while you're driving. Make it a habit. And once you do, praying will become an integral part of your life. Now, I am presupposing that most of us do have a strong prayer life. But for those of us who need to work at it, that is a job assignment in itself. If people of faith prayed more and complained less, then God's spiritual armor would be in place. as described here. Ephesians is also described in the epistle to the Romans also. Pray for fellow Christians. Pray for those who give you the most trouble. Now, that's the hardest part of praying, is praying for those who you don't really like. But we're mandated to do that. Even if you choke on it, but you say, God, help me pray through the Holy Spirit for my, I won't call them enemies, but you know they're not your best friends either. But you want to make sure that you pray for them. You really do. Pray for the preachers. I need plenty of prayer, by the way. Pray for those who do not attend church, too. An ill-prepared Christian is in a dangerous position without the continual practice of prayer in their lives. If spiritual stagnation and mediocrity is what you prefer, don't pray. It will expose not just yourself, but a lot of people susceptible to the perils of this world and society. Move forward, not backwards. I think I described this one time about the Roman soldier. He did not have protection from the rear. The armor only protected the front side. Why? Retreat was not in the Roman army vocabulary. It shouldn't be in the Christian's vocabulary either. For Christians, let us move forward toward victory over evil. You know, it's interesting, a lot of times, and I talked about peacemaking and love and all that stuff. Well, it's good and said, but only a lot of times it gets left on the table and never applied to daily living. You have to apply it to whether it's somebody you know or a stranger or whatever, or even a potential enemy. You know, in the Wild West days of Arizona, you know, I had to come up with a history illustration. In the Wild West days of Arizona, there were frequent skirmishes between the Apache Indians and the American or Mexican military. Oh, they had some humdinger of little battles over in Arizona. It was called Arizona Territory at the time. The Apache, however, were selective in their choice of enemies. Now, the Westerns I know, which are very entertaining if you watch the old ones, they attacked everybody, the Apaches. But that was not necessarily true. They only went to war against people who were threatening them, and the military was the biggest threat to the Apache nation. Very rarely were ranches or ranchers ever attacked by Cochise or Geronimo. It was primarily the military that got the brunt of their irritation. Ranchers made friends with the Apache. You know how they did it? It was through their generosity of food, water, and the use of their land, like for their horses. Do you know many times there were Apache war parties going to attack a fort or a whatever it was, the military was, and they would stop off at some ranch and feed their horses, get fed by the ranch family, and just rest up a little bit so they could go on and do their attacking. I know that sounds very, very odd, but they did that. And the ranchers sought to live in peace with the Apache as good neighbors. Why can't we do the same with people around us today? That is something that we need to strive to do regardless of anything. You know, a lot of people, they just, because somebody may be a little different, they may even go to a different church. Oh, I can't fellowship with a person because he's a Methodist or she's a Catholic. That's not the way God wants us to behave toward others. We must do our best to have fellowship with all people, regardless of the name they carry, whether it's religion or whatever it may be. Then all will know the gospel of peace in the place of evil. So starting right now, why don't you try to apply some of that good neighbor policy? And you'll see some fabulous rewards happening on that. And it can be accomplished only with God's help. Because if you don't use God's help, it's not going to get done. So start right now and saying, God, I need help in everything in my life. And it will happen. Believe me, out of faith, it will happen. Because you don't have a prayer if you don't pray to God about it. Let's pray. Lord, help us in our shortcomings and our sins that we do fall short every day. When we become arrogant and obnoxious, humble us, O Lord, to think, hey, we don't corner the market on intellect or even on faith. May our lives represent and reflect the grace that you have given us. This we pray through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.